Hi, this is Paul Warren, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast with Jason, your host. Joining me for this week's busy chat, returning Chris Holt. Chris, thanks for joining me again, mate.
Good evening, Jason. Always a pleasure, sir.
And Jack Bryan's back after his trip to Pride Park to watch the Forest Ladies, the Derby Ladies, last Sunday, so missed out on the Portsmouth chat. Jack, how you doing, mate? Have a good time last Sunday?
Yeah, it was great. I'll bring you some reaction, some insight, and a bit of a recap in a bit as we reflect on hopefully some, you know, a good point there, I would say, and a good point down south for the men as well.
Absolutely. And that is, we'll start off with Portsmouth before, obviously, we will cover the women's East Midlands Derby. We've also got Wickham to talk. We've also got Leighton Orient to talk as well. So a busy, busy show this week. Chris, we previewed Portsmouth on Sunday, Easter Sunday last week, after what had been a positive result for Derby, but not necessarily a blistering performance. And we were both sitting on the fence. We didn't quite know what to say and which way it went. Was it going to be the Derby County of the trip to Six Fields 2 weeks ago, or was it going to be a Derby County that we know can turn up away from home? And I have to say, Chris, it was the Derby County that turned up. I mean, just for a neutral, the spectacle of top of the end League One football, I thought it was a pretty decent game, to say. Obviously, probably one of the biggest talking points with the weather conditions down on the South Coast. It was absolutely torrential. But Derby turned up. And in all fairness, as we'll go into it, Derby could have easily have come away with 3 points. They settle for a point, and I think that is, as we touched on last Sunday, that is actually it can be a very, very positive result if we can back it up tomorrow night. Wednesday night against Wickham.
100%, Jason. When we spoke previewing the Portsmouth game, and obviously we spoke to one of their fantastic podcasts, I was sort of a little bit naive by saying that if we don't get anything out of the game, it's not a concern. But now that Bolton got that valued win at the weekend, that point that we got against Portsmouth, exactly what you said, Jason, and you know, fair play to it, is a huge point. I actually thought Derby looked really structured and calm, and the game deserved a draw. I think we can't say that Portsmouth deserved it. And I wouldn't say Derby deserved it in the end more than a draw, but I thought it was a fantastic game of football. The pitch was horrendous. Then we get invaded by a fox when Corey Blackett-Taylor was on a potential through on goal opportunity. But fair play to Paul Warren. He went to a 4-4-2. It worked really, really well. Let's take it and roll, because I think it's going to be, puts a lot of pressure on Bolton to get two massive results in the final four.
Yeah, we'll come on to obviously Bolton's results at the weekend. And I must admit, I was looking earlier and they don't play midweek. A lot of League One teams do. They don't. So Derby will go that game in hand ahead of them again, which is a bit of a surprise. Obviously, they've then would have had a full week's preparation before their home game against Portsmouth on Saturday. So obviously that's going to be quite a big fixture, one that we'll touch on later. But Jack, I would say you didn't join us because you were busy for the preview against Portsmouth. I mean, certainly for me, as I mentioned a minute ago, it was all about what Derby County was going to turn up. And exactly what Chris has just said, I can't fault what he's just said. They look structured. There was not really the conditions to, for the type of football that Derby would want to play, and probably the same for Portsmouth as well. Because me and Chris alluded to, Portsmouth play would have played in a way that, you know, I think would have suited Derby. It turns out that the conditions kind of cancelled both teams out a little bit in terms of flowing attacking football. Certainly one or two puddles, as Chris just mentioned, certainly stopped Blackett Taylor once or twice. But what it did, it showed that, again, and it's not the first time we've seen it, but you just never know what Derby County team's going to turn up these days. It just showed that Derby were resilient, they were dogged. I wouldn't necessarily say Portsmouth looked a better side than Derby. They certainly had a bit more of the ball, Jack, and I think that where Chris alluded to there, a draw is probably a fair result. Before we even talk about both of their goals, are contentiously should have been chalked off. But for you watching that game Tuesday night, mate, I mean, I must admit, I was sat there. I was in Wales watching it. Actually, I was in Cardiff City Centre, and I was quite proud the way that the lads turned up there and showed what they can do on the Sky cameras.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was a game that was always going to be one of Derby's toughest in terms of what was on the line, and then you threw the conditions in there. I mean, Portsmouth, as you both said, very good football inside. I'd say even despite the conditions on the night, they were probably still the better team in terms of how they wanted to play, how they tried to play. But in terms of effectiveness, Derby were, you know, they're excellent. They had to, you know, ride a couple of spells. Certainly early on, you know, they had like five shots in the first 11 minutes. And you thought, here we go. But Derby started to, you know, be able to kind of break free. They got the goal, you know, second one again, good counter-attack. And, you know, but it was very structured. I think that's the key word. I mean, if you cast your mind back 2 weeks ago, we sat here ahead of the Blackpool game and went through what we thought the team would look like and how, Chris, you called for square pegs in square holes. And building, we kind of built this 4-4-2, didn't we? Now, that was pretty much what Paul Warne went with on Good Friday. And he stuck with that same sort of 4-4-2-esque system with Mendes Lang kind of floating a little bit against Portsmouth. And yeah, it was. It was not overly complicated, simple, structured system that worked really well out of possession, you know. Derby even dropping the 9 and the 10, as Warne called them, which is, you know, the front two, which were, yeah, not quite a traditional strike partnership in that sense. Even they dropped in, Joe Ward would tuck in from that right-hand side and invert out of possession play almost as a third central midfielder at times. And it was rigid, it was regimented. They played with some real desire and heart, but also discipline. They set up with a game plan. And boy, did they execute it. They came away with a very solid point, which is actually, yeah, if we look at the table now, crucial. And I mean, a word on the Fox as well. I mean, obviously that could have derailed things in terms of that attack. But as I tweeted, actually, you know, that Fox is the most impressive Fox I've seen in terms of the way it covered ground since N'Golo Kanté was at Leicester, to be honest. Because, yeah, that was, that was a complete bolt from the blue. I mean, my notes were just goal, 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 chance, Fox. You know, completely mad. But yeah, I think all in all, for what was a game that really had everything for the neutral, I think for us as Derby fans, and I think for Portsmouth as well, both sides came away from it relatively happy.
Yeah, I would fully agree. It was it was a bit of an exciting game of football. I thought that there was a bit of everything, as you say. Yeah, I suppose the only thing really there wasn't a penalty and a red card would have filled the bingo card with it, really. But we'll talk positives of Derby County, Chris. And obviously, one name that will jump out is Joe Ward for his two goals. I think he's been nothing short of brilliant since his comeback. Obviously, had a slow start to his Derby County career. A little bit up and down, a few niggles, a few injuries. And then I think now for, what, 4 or 5 games, I'd say, he's been what you hoped he was going to be in a Derby shirt. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's coming at the right time for him to pop up with his two goals of the season so far, both obviously similar chances. And I must admit, it's probably one thing I can look at not just this Derby side, but probably Derby sides over the last couple of years, apart from probably McGoldrick and Mendes Lang when he's on song. We don't shoot enough. And the conditions Tuesday night were shoot. It's as simple as that. That's what they did with their equaliser. Could have gone anywhere. Fires into the, obviously, into the back of the net. That was the type of pitch and the type of surface to just anywhere in and around the 18. You've got to take a shot. And I was very impressed with Ward's movement. I was impressed with the setups. Obviously, Blackett Taylor set the first one up. Collins and Cashin's ball and Collins set up for the second. But the right finishers, grass cutters, down hard and low, bit of moisture on the surface. And Derby found themselves, after obviously going 1-0 up very quickly, back to 1-1. But then we galvanised again. And that's why I thought to myself, you know, we have to come out with this with at least a point now. You go anywhere away from home and get two goals, you were pretty confident you're going to get a point out of it. Obviously, no more so than when you go to the top of the league. And whilst we were stopped a couple of times adding to that lead, you know, that second half, we did sit back a bit. We did do some of the things that I know I don't particularly like. I know both of us don't particularly like the way sometimes we just sit there and allow the pressure, because that's where the goal comes from again. No pressure, no closing down, and he's had a pop from 30 yards. Now, I'm taking nothing away from that finish. I've seen people say Wildsmith should have got to it. I'm not going to go down that avenue. I just think it was a fair old game of football between two sides that are clearly playing well at the moment. And, you know, there's, even though we conceded two and only got a point, I'm not looking at anything as a negative, Chris, from Tuesday.
No, and just talking about their equaliser before we get into Joe Ward, I think the Derby two blocks of four stopped when they thought it was a blatant handball. I genuinely think that Derby lost that yard or that 2 yards of pressure that they required to nullify the shot by. They were pretty convinced, well, certainly most of them were convinced that the linesman or at least the referee would have seen that. But their swings and roundabouts, and they come and go, and we'll get some in our favour some games and we won't in others. So, you know, we'll move on from that. Joe Ward, absolutely spot on, Jason. A talented player. Someone that benefits, I think, from the 4-4-2, personally. I'm not sure that the 3-5-2 was suiting him with the expectations of fitness. I don't think he was ever quite right and 100% sharp when he came into the club. Then he had the freak injury. He now looks the player that we all saw at Peterborough last year. And I think you're absolutely spot on, Jason. It couldn't come at a better time, especially with the injury issues that we have, that someone has grabbed his form by the horns and ran with it. And it's been a consistent 7.5 to 8 out of 10 every time he's played since. One thing I will say about Joe Ward, he hits the ball so crisply. He's got a fantastic technique. That first goal was a tough finish. If you take into consideration the weather conditions, keeping on side, making an angle that that makes the keeper choose both posts or one of the two posts, it was just a very, very good goal, and a goal worthy of any Premier League or Championship finish. So the second one was a slight deflection, but even so, like you said, if you don't take a pop, you don't score. And do you know what? I thought his defensive duties were okay as well. I think he dropped in, like Jack said, he dropped in and did his role very well and kept Portsmouth quite narrow. I see him being a big pivotal player in the last four games. Very important. And who knows, that confidence that he's now got may push him on to two or three. You know, look what happened to Dwight Gayle before he got injured. As soon as he got his first, they came along like buses. So I don't know what Jack's thoughts are, but I think that Joe Ward could become a superhero in the next four games.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's something I put in the piece on Tuesday night. If you both rightly say, it's players coming into form at the crucial moment, which can hopefully, you know, get us over the line. I mean, if I can be slightly nerdy here in terms of tactics. Joe Ward's role actually was something that, to bring an Italian term out, and I might not be pronouncing this right, but it was almost, sort of Mazzala-esque in terms of, now that's very much seen as a central midfield role, and then they kind of drift wide. Back in the 30s, when that was first kind of a thing in the old WM, it was very much, a winger who came in, and he was kind of somewhere between the old interpretation and modern interpretation, managing to use those wide spaces really well in possession. But the way he did tuck in and create and use that inside right as well, I thought was quite impressive. And I think that is definitely a good role for him, because it then allows Kane Wilson to kind of coexist as well. And you saw him then make those kind of darts forward at times. And yeah, I think Ward kind of covered for him in those moments better than he has done in previous games. There's sometimes where you look at that and you think, oh, are they both kind of going up? Is this too much? But I think that's the other key thing with this 4-4-2 as opposed to the 3-5-2, is if Derby wants to get both of them in the team, then you're either playing one of them in a sort of front three, which is kind of questionable, or what's the other option? And I think for that, with the players available at the moment and the form they've both been in, I think this 4-4-2 is important for that.
I think, to be honest with you, Jack, you're spot on. And we saw it whilst briefly before, obviously, Ward's injury. Wilson and Ward as that two side, it balances it out quite nicely. Obviously, Mendes then was either up front or on the left, obviously, before Blackett Taylor. But now we are getting the fruits of that labour, because I think Chris alluded to it. I don't think either of them are particularly strong defensively, and Jack, you pointed out, I don't think the 3-5-2 necessarily from a defensive point of view actually benefits either of them. But in a 4-4-2, and the way that they swap and change as well keeps the other team guessing. You never know who's quite going to sit in there, and sometimes that obviously can have a bit of a disadvantage if people are out of position. But so far over the last couple of games, I think they've played that to a T, and long may it continue, because I mean, I've not heard anything, so I'm fully expecting a very, very similar sort of lineup and style on Wednesday night against Wickham. So yeah, we'll see how that one goes. And before we touch on the two contentious goals for Portsmouth, one other player who I thought progressed from his solid game from Friday night against, sorry, Friday afternoon against Blackpool, was Corey Blackett Taylor, Chris. Again, he did do some decent stuff. You had the chat with the PO4 cast about Blackett Taylor's ability to get at Portsmouth, and if I will say it, if it wasn't for the weather conditions, I think he'd have been in once or twice more, because there was puddles, there was foxes, there was wind, there was all sorts that stopped him. But he was genuinely a thorn in their side all game, until he really started. Obviously, he blew up a little bit in the second half, and we had to get him off. But he's growing into his shirt a little bit at Derby. Luckily, again, same as Ward, a very pivotal time of the season.
Absolutely. It was a pitch that didn't suit him, did it? And yet he showed what he's capable of, even on a quagmire. Portsmouth have history with him. They've struggled with him every time he's played against them. And I think they showed him far too much respect. And I say that as a compliment. I thought they would have, if I personally would have been a Pompey player, I'd have hit him hard in the first 2 minutes. If you take a booking, then so be it. But you normally find with skillful, tricky wingers, if you hit them hard early, they don't want the ball, because they'll expect that every time they get the ball. But I just think his confidence was there for all to see in the warm-up. I also think his confidence was there when he was going around and the players were hugging each other, motivating each other pre-kickoff. It's almost like an animal that Paul Warner's kept locked up secretly, and been feeding and feeding the motivation and the frustration, to the point where this animal is chomping at the bit so wildly that he unleashed him, and bang, look what happened. And you're absolutely spot on. I'm convinced that if we were on a Pride Park pitch, which isn't looking its best at the moment, but on a good surface in general, I think Portsmouth would have struggled to contain him all game. I also don't think he would have blew up either. So it shows a really another positive option that Derby have going into the last four. My only concern will be is whether Wickham have seen how you can nullify him by having a boggy pitch, and the Wickham pitch isn't renowned for being a particularly great playing surface, is it, Jack? So it'll be interesting what they do to tamper with the pitch midweek to nullify Derby's options. Because I think man to man, they can't nullify us. I think they will use the elements against us to try and get everything they can to stop us.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they do. They like to make it difficult whenever you go there. And as the home team, they're going to use all the advantages afforded to them. And that is certainly a big one with Blackie Taylor, who, yeah, I mean, I'd say, as you say, completely different player the last couple of games. I'd say Blackpool and then again at Portsmouth, each time you came away thinking that's probably his best performance in a Derby shirt. And, I think he is someone who can be a real threat for Derby now. He's up to scratch with that pace, with those runs. To have him and Mendes Lang was something that we were all getting excited by in January. And we're starting to see that. And I think the other thing that really helped with that was having the work rate, actually, James Collins back as well. I think that made a difference up front, him being able to put himself about, and he gave Derby that physical element that, yeah, certainly Portsmouth should have done that, as you say, Chris, with Blackett Taylor, because if that happens once early on, then yeah, the stall is set, and I would fully expect Wickham to do that tomorrow night. Wednesday night. Losing track of the days here. Yeah, because that just, that's classic what we expect when you go to Adams Park. And it's, if I was a betting man, I'd put money on it. Because I'm not, I won't. But yeah, that's, that's a pretty safe bet, I reckon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Jack, as you say, just for the final bit, obviously there are lots of positives we can talk about Tuesday night. But that one that has irked a couple of Derby fans, obviously, a potential offside for Portsmouth's first goal, although I've heard rumblings on that Derby's first goal could have also been slightly offside. So I must admit, I've seen an angle that makes it look like he was onside. I've seen an angle that makes him look like he's offside. So, I don't mind drawing a line through that one. Exactly what Paul Warren said in his post-match, that, you just don't get the rub of the green sometime. But that second one, as Chris alluded to, it did look like the Derby players sort of stopped a little bit. But I mean, obviously, one of the first rules of football is play to the whistle. But we know that footballers don't do that. I'm struggling to see how that hasn't been given as a handball. But it's not the definitive part of Portsmouth's equaliser, is it, Jack? There is then another sort of 5-second phase of play which Derby just didn't quite get right in the closing down. And I mean, as I say, it's a 30-yarder. You can't take anything away that he stuck it in the top corner. But there is that handball, contentious handball to talk about. What were your thoughts on the two?
To me, from what I saw, and I've seen, one or two replays, but nothing, I've not seen all the angles that there are. So, this isn't completely conclusive, just covering my back here. But it did, it looked like it was probably a handball, whereas the offside, I saw it first and I didn't see it, in part because I was also tweeting at the same time, I guess. And then someone responded and I saw another replay and I thought, no, that looks offside. So that was contentious, whereas the handball looked more certain. But I think the issue is, as you say, you've got to play to the whistle. It's, in any game, especially a game like that, yes, it might have been a handball. There's no VAR. The ref's not going to give it, a couple of seconds on. Just, keep playing. And I think what the other interesting thing is, what we're talking about with Derby's solid structure and the way they got back, Ward tucking in, the 9 and the 10 coming back as well. I think how deep they then sat also was their undoing for that goal in allowing Owen Moxon so much time and space to unleash that absolute rocket. And fair play to him. You know, he's scoring his first goal for the new club, make it memorable. And what a time to do it, and what a way to do it as well. Because, yeah, incredible. It's one of those that you could almost just have to sit back and applaud, really, because as much as Derby, yeah, sat off too much, should have closed him down, he still had a lot to do, and it's still a great strike. So, yeah, good. And as we say, a fair result in the end. I think, you know, I don't think many people would argue otherwise.
No. And Christoph, that was going to round the Portsmouth chat up, but I did think of one more thing. Obviously, with the conditions the way that they were, I was quite surprised by the, not the lack of, what's the right word? That just the way that there wasn't tackles flying in. I mean, it's those kind of conditions that, you know, you could get a challenge wrong, and, you know, and you could be seeing red quite quickly. I thought both teams played that well, and actually I thought, in all fairness, the ref took charge of the game quite well. The only probably contentious talking point from a Derby's perspective is Joe Wildsmith and his non-handling of the ball outside the area, which I must admit, when I saw it, I thought he was going to get his marching orders on first initial thoughts. Obviously the referee saw it in a different way, but that obviously, it was. I think Tuesday was the first time Josh Vickers was back on the bench. Maybe that little bit of pressure in his mind again, and then within 20 minutes, he has made a bit of a stinker of a coming out for a ball in those conditions. When, in all fairness, a lot of times because of the weather conditions, it was weird. Some were holding up, and some passes were absolutely flying out. So what do you think to the referees, and I suppose the dirtiness of the game? What it just wasn't there, which it was good to see. And yeah, that Joe Wildsmith moment, Chris, a moment of madness. We're having one too many from him at the moment.
It's interesting that you make the point about Vickers on the bench and the pressure that puts Wildsmith under. The referee, I thought, refereed the game with a lot of common sense. I think he obviously missed the handball. I think when you referee, like I referee basketball, as you know, and sometimes you work as a team, and either two or three of you, and if you never blow something that you think you see, because as soon as you start blowing the whistle on what you think you see, you're in trouble. So I think he was reliant on the linesman. I would have imagined that they would have quickly discussed it over the wired up microphone and earpiece to see. And I would imagine that the linesman would have turned around and said, "I'm not in the angle to give you that definitive answer." Regarding the Wildsmith handling the ball outside the area, I think common sense prevailed, because I think exactly what you said, Jason, the weather conditions were really, really difficult for a goalkeeper to judge anything coming through. One minute it was holding up, the next minute it was scooting through. And I think I was really impressed with the referee to actually take that on board. And you could basically see him explaining to people questioning it that he said, ultimately, the weather conditions are very difficult. I think also, if you would have seen a potential situation where a keeper slid out his area unintentionally and clipped a player, I don't think you would have seen a red. I think you would have seen a yellow, because when you're having a game of such importance, first versus second, the last thing you don't want to be as a referee is the decider. You decide who wins and loses the game. So I think he actually handled it really, really well. And I think a lot of praise should be given to him, because I know a lot of Derby fans have given League One referees stick this year. And yep, they're not the best. And you've got to remember, these are still fundamentally pay-per-match semi-professionals. They don't do this full time. I thought he was excellent. As for Wildsmith and Vickers, I'll be interested to see how he reacts against Wickham, because I think it'll be a very similar game. I think it'll be weather dictated. I think it'll be pitch dictated. And who is the better keeper to handle that situation? Personally, Jack, I don't know about yourself. I don't think he'll change the keeper with 4 games to go, unless there's an absolute calamity at Wickham.
Yeah, I think it'd be a bold move at this point. You know, Vickers has been back on the bench one game. Wildsmith, you know, didn't really do anything wrong, I wouldn't say, at Portsmouth. I mean, yeah, as you say, it was the weather for the slip, and that was just good refereeing. And yes, there's the argument, could you have got to Owen Moxon's shot? To be honest, I don't think he could. I think it just looked to me like a good goal. So I think if he's done nothing wrong and he's been pretty solid of late in the last few games overall, cast your mind back to things like Bolton as well, then it'd be a really bold move with four games to go, and just seems like an unnecessary change that could potentially just upset dynamics very slightly if made. But obviously there might be reasons behind it if it does happen, but from what we know and what we can see, it doesn't look like likely or like something that should happen to me.
I think it's a valid point that you both make. It would be a bold move, but of course it was a bold move when he swapped it out 6, 7 weeks ago or 3 months ago, whatever it may well be now, when everybody were sort of scratching the Reds. And in all fairness, I don't think Vickers covered himself in a great deal of glory in the couple of games that he played either. Not that he did anything horrendously wrong, but there were certainly some of the things I remember talking about it on the podcast. He just didn't seem as confident as a goalkeeper as I'd certainly want in between the sticks. So yeah, I think it, in all fairness, I think it'd be utter madness to change it with four games to go. I mean, obviously, if we're already up and he wants to give him a roll out against Carlisle, then absolutely. But I think for the games that matter at the moment, then yeah, I think it'd be suicidal. And in fact, injuries aside, I think it would be pretty daft to make much of a change of any of the positions. If I'm completely honest with you, I think we're starting again that slight tweak of formation that's needed to be had because of who's been available, and it's working. 4 points out of them two. We said that it was going to be a very tough Easter, and it would test Derby's mettle of what they could get. We were all sort of hoping for at least three. If we could get four or more, it was obviously going to be incredible. We've managed to do that. And I see that as quite a positive, and that moves on to, obviously, I say Bolton did catch up in at the weekend, beating Bristol Rovers. I did watch the game, and I have to say they weren't at their best. Bristol Rovers, I thought, deserved, certainly for the first 60 minutes, were definitely in the game and playing some good football and had chances to be in front in that game. And then I think, to be honest, they run out a little bit of a bit of steam. And I think that is something that you definitely see in this division that separates between the top sides and not so much the top sides. That fitness level, that little bit extra, does seem to prevail. And obviously they close the game out with two goals, and it just creeps the pressure back into Derby's box again. But of course, as I just mentioned, as we mentioned earlier, Bolton not playing this week, in midweek, which is a bit of a surprise. As I said, there's a almost full fixture list, so I'm not quite sure why they're not playing. And so their next game is hosting Portsmouth, who I believe, if they beat Bolton, they can, they will gain promotion. And they're going to want to. Both teams are going to want that, Chris. They're going to want something, aren't they? Bolton are going to want to lay that marker down for the final three, and Portsmouth are going to want to get it wrapped up as soon as possible. And what better place to do it, than again against a Bolton who are still sniffing around it.
It's one of those catch-22s, isn't it? Because one half of my brain is telling me, will Portsmouth not take it that seriously against Bolton, knowing that they've got 3 games after that to seal promotion and the championship by doing it at home, or whether they go out, like you said, with a blaze of glory and take one of their outside rivals out of the equation. Let's hope for the latter. I think Portsmouth are good enough to go to Bolton and get a point, which would help us massively. I still think Peterborough have a big say in this, which we'll come to later on in the show. I still think that the more important game is the Peterborough Bolton game, which is the last game of the season. So I think there'll be so much riding on that because I don't think that they'll want to face Lincoln or Oxford in the playoffs. One of those is going to come sixth. And if you come third, I would not like to, you know, you're looking at facing one of those, which would be a very, very difficult task. So me personally, I think Portsmouth will go there and get a point. They're very difficult to beat. They've got beaten four times only this year, and I don't see that changing, Jack.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd imagine they will get something. And yeah, nobody likes the idea of playing Lincoln at the moment, the form they're in. And interestingly, Oxford as well is where Peterborough play this weekend. They travel to Oxford for that game, so that could be an interesting indication looking at the wider league and what could potentially occur in the playoffs if those two sides were to meet at some point. So that's not an easy game. Obviously, Peterborough play on Wednesday night as well after, you know, a brilliant weekend for them in which they won the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. And yeah, it's the same thing that we come back to time and time again of, if Portsmouth can just beat the teams around us that they faced and kind of clear the path, then great. And yeah, Peterborough, with Oxford still to play, Bolton on the final day. I mean, it's a real shame from our perspective that doesn't happen until the final day, because that's going to be incredibly tense. But what we could have as a little bit of comfort is knowing that it's impossible for both Peterborough and Bolton to pick up maximum points from these final games, which just makes things a little bit easier for Derby. But yeah, I'd expect Portsmouth to get something this weekend. They will almost certainly get promotion and win the title by the end of the season. I struggle to see them collapsing to an extent where either of those things doesn't happen. But I think, you know, if Derby could get second place, I think we'd all take that in a heartbeat, and that'd be a successful season.
Yeah, I must admit, I watched the Bristol Street Trophies final yesterday. Obviously, open it went all the way to penalties and everything. And to be honest with you, I didn't really care who won it, but I just wanted as much energy zapping out of Wickham as possible for Wednesday. And as it's one of them where the Portsmouth obviously have navigated that final now. They've got silverware. They are still gunning for Derby, obviously, and promotion. And that could galvanise them, that extra 10-15% that they might need to catch us up. Of course, they have still got to catch us up with those couple of games in hand, and, you know, pressure will be on them probably more so. I'd be more worried about them if they win both those games in hand rather than at this moment in time, I have to say. And like I said, Oxford is not a easy trip. Obviously, they're off the back of what, beating Burton, was it, on Saturday, 4-0. So, you know, they've started to find a little bit more form. And so, you know, it's not going to get any easier. We know that, gents. And in the second half of the pod, we'll look ahead to Derby's other game this week on Saturday against Leyton Orient. So, as we've just mentioned, there'll all be games between now and the end of the season from a Derby's perspective. But as we alluded to, I think pretty much every match day now, Jack, there's not just Derby's game that's important. There are the other connotations of teams at the top playing each other. And of course, Saturday, as we've just alluded to, Bolton host Portsmouth, which is going to be a real interesting watch. Obviously, I'll be at Pride Park for Derby, Leyton Orient, and obviously all Derby's got to do, as we keep saying, is win all four, and it doesn't matter what everybody else does. But it's a bit of a shame that Derby are at home. I wouldn't have minded being at home, being sat at home with Derby away and watching both games on stream live and things like that. But Derby have just got to take care of business against, obviously, hopefully Derby can come through Wednesday night with 3 points. If they don't, obviously it puts the pressure on a bit more. If we can just keep teams at arm's length, winning Wednesday night, putting the onus back on Bolton, knowing they've got to probably beat Portsmouth to keep themselves in the race, really, is a pressure that I'd love Derby to be able to put on them, but obviously it remains to be seen. But then Derby host Leyton Orient, a team that they've had their scalps this year. Obviously, a team coming up from League Two. I don't think many other League One sides really give them much of a chance of staying in the division, but they have equipped themselves quite well. Obviously, Derby's reverse fixture down there, at Brisbane Road, was a comfortable, if memory serves me well, I say comfortable 3-0. I remember them battering us for the first half, and we should have been about 2-0 down, if memory serves me right. But in the end, Derby obviously did do the business, and I'm fully expecting now. I'm not expecting many slip-ups. We all penciled Wickham as a potential banana skin. I'm actually changing my perception. I think Cambridge is going to be a bit of a banana skin because Nathan Jones has obviously gone in there and he's getting a bit of a tune out them. So Derby would do well to not think about going to Cambridge and just rolling them over. They can't take that attitude in like we did at Six Fields a couple of weeks ago. But it's going to be the same sort of chat, really, on reviews between now and the end of the season, Jack. Derby have just got to keep pulling out the performances. We didn't know which Derby side was going to turn up against Fratton Park last Tuesday, and we got the good Derby County. We've just got to hope that we get the good Derby County Wednesday night down at Adams Park, and then it just galvanises them again for what I'm sure will be another sellout or very close to 30,000 at least against Orient on Saturday.
Yeah, every game between now and the end of the season is, you know, massive. I mean, you know, cliche is cup final, and it's about, as was the case last week, you know, it's about playing the game, not the occasion. You know, they've got to block out everything else that's going on, as much as we as fans will be looking at, you know, the Bolton Portsmouth score and all the stipulations. They need to just take these next couple of games and just, you know, follow the game plan, play their game, and we hope it will then come. I mean, this is a Leyton Orient side who did go to Fratton Park and win 3-0 back in January. So they have, as you say, had a couple of kind of scalps. You know, that was a big one. They then went and beat Bolton 1-0 at home. And yeah, Derby, they have put on the cosh. But if we look at their kind of more recent results, a win at Cheltenham, I hope it's Cheltenham on Saturday. Before that, they were winless in five. So, you know, Derby should have enough to get past them. They will have an extra day's rest. They play Leyton Orient. They play Exeter, tomorrow night. They don't play themselves. That'd be weird. So that's in their favour, perhaps. But I would say, you know, they're a side who are actually slightly underperforming in terms of their goals compared to what's maybe expected of them. But they've got a couple of attackers who have kind of taken the mantle in terms of goal scoring. 20 goals between Ruel Sotiriou and Shaqai Ford. I should have practiced that before we started this, shouldn't I? But two goals between them, and that comes to about 40%. 20 goals between them comes to about 2 in 5 of their overall goal total. So those two are going to be a threat, 11 and 9 goals in the league, respectively. But yeah, I think Derby, if they play their game, play as they have done the last couple of games, we're going to be pretty confident. But any of these games could easily be the banana skin. And I think it could be any of them between now and the last game of the season. Wickham is obviously the, you know, kind of cliche one we've all been looking at, because it's Wickham, there's history, we know what going to Adams Park is like. But, you know, Leyton Orient have had a really good season considering what was expected of them, as you say. Cambridge should just about be safe, but, you know, going away there is not the easiest thing. And even Carlisle on the final day, yes, they're already down, but they're going to want to go out with a bang. So I think, yeah, we cannot count our chickens yet. There is still points to be won and promotion to be secured, it could yet fall. But on the way Derby performed of late in the last few games, discounting Northampton, if you look at the last kind of four or five games, I'd say, yeah, we should do it.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm just looking at the league table now. Orient in 10th, 9 points off the playoffs with four to go. It's probably a step too far, Chris. But they win tomorrow night against Exeter. And then, you know, they're going to be gunning for Derby. There's no two ways about it. So it's not going to be an easy game at all. And as we said, Cambridge coming up as well, obviously, again, finding a bit of form. And exactly as Jack said, Carlisle will want to go out with a bang for the final game of the season. So, and I suppose, really, Wickham's, if you can call them, they're the most safest team that in the league. They're slap bang in the middle of the table. They ain't going up. They're not going down. And it's one of the things I was hoping, I say, from the trophy final, that they took it to penalties and even won it, because that it would have derailed, you would have thought would have derailed Peterborough, and they would not have had much else. They'd have not had anything else to play for this season, other than that little bit of history, obviously, over the last couple of years with Derby, and they're not going to want to do Derby any favours, are they?
The history, yes. A certain American chair stroke owner with an interesting point of view about administration and what have you. Let's move on from that. I actually don't think that Wickham have got the same sort of tenacity against us. And I think you've hit the nail on the head, Jason. I think they're so safe. They might look now to... He puts two frames of mind into a professional footballer's head and which way they want to go. Obviously, they decide. Do you play safe and protect yourself from physical injury, knowing that the season is coming to an end, and you're wanting the worst you can do now on these terrible pitches? Let's be honest, the weather has made these pitches awful. It's get an injury going into the close season, which potentially, when you're with a club that's very safe and in the middle of the league, what kind of mindset does it give you? You know, or do they go in the mindset that it is Derby, like you said, Jason, we can't stand them. They screwed us over a few years ago. Well, not Derby, but the whole process. And therefore, we'll continue to be their bogey team. And they are a bogey team. What I will say is about Leighton Orient is they worry me more. And the reason why they worry me more is because if you look at their league table, their last six games they've played, they've won three of the six. They've got a naught goal difference. They've won something like 17 and lost 15. They either win 3-0 or they lose 3-0. And I don't like playing those kind of teams at all. They'll either tear a backside off you and send you packing with a big defeat like they did at Portsmouth, or they'll just basically roll at a whimper and get rolled over. So I don't like playing those kind of teams. I much prefer playing someone like Wickham, who you know you go in there and you know what probably is coming, which is sleeves up, grit, determination, hitting you hard.
Yeah, very much so. And like you say, you can't just say it's... I mean, I'm sure I haven't looked back, but it is probably Leighton's home form that have got them into that 10th spot as they currently stand. But as we've alluded to, they have gone to Fratton Park and been one of only four teams to beat them this year. So, yeah, they're certainly no mugs. But... obviously, it's the chat is always going to be the chat because it fills the podcast out. But at the end of the day, Derby need four wins. Well, if Derby get four wins, they're definitely promoted. I think if they get three wins, me personally, I think they're definitely promoted. I'm not quite at the stage where if Derby get two wins, I think we're definitely promoted, but we'll see. I think if we win, I think if we do win Wednesday night, I think that just piles the pressure really back onto Bolton to have to turn up at home against Portsmouth. And we know they're good at home, don't get me wrong. I'd rather of them be going to Fratton Park, but I think Derby just need, if they can, pile the pressure on Wednesday night. And to be fair, if Bolton are then up to the challenge, fair play to them. We're in for a fantastic final you know, three games of the season where they have still got a couple of absolute buggers to come up against. And as you say, it's Derby's on paper looks comfortable, but I wouldn't go as far as saying that. You know, so let's see how it goes. But yeah, after the, into the next pod, there will only be two games to go. So we'll know what needs to be done out of those final two. I'd love it to not have to go down to the final game of the season, Jack. But at the end of the day, I also think final game of the season, something against Carlisle, Bolton something needs something against Peterborough. It makes up for a very nervy but fantastic potential end to the season, for a Derby's perspective at least. But yeah, I'd love it if things were wrapped up and that final game on the 27th can just be a promotion party rather than, you know, the nerves. We've seen Derby on final days of the season over the years. Chris, you'll remember a few more than me, I'm sure, but I can remember a fair few over the last 20-odd years of following Derby that we've needed something on that final day, and sometimes we've had it, sometimes we just haven't. So it'll all boil down to see where we are. But yeah, that's two games in the next 5 days. Again, we'll see, and it could shape Derby's League One status for next season. Final part of the podcast this week. Jack, you had the pleasure of being there on Easter Sunday last week for Derby against Forest Women. I'll let you obviously do the whole rundown of it as you were there, but from what I saw, I only got the highlights and obviously read match reports. I think it was a deserved point, a well-earned point, and possibly even looking at it that, you know, they maybe should have and could have got one over on their nearest rivals.
They could have done. I think Forest had an awful lot of chances themselves in that second half in particular. As the game went on, Sarah Morgan was, you know, on really good form, much like Anna Draper was at the City Ground. There were some similar themes there. But yeah, Derby, to be fair to them, they played really well. And considering they're playing a team who was second in the league and, you know, an excellent side in Forest. And, you know, I'm saying this being completely impartial, taking my Derby hat off. If you look at where Forest are compared to where Derby are in the league table and where the two sides have been this season, you know, a point against Forest, having got the win in the reverse fixture as well, is a, you know, a very impressive record really against the team second in the league who were managed to be just, you know, coming into the game, they were just 6 points behind the Newcastle side who were full time and, you know, on, you know, with a ridiculous budget comparatively to, well, frankly, anyone who's ever been in the third tier. But yeah, I'd say, you know, that first 10 minutes, Forest kind of had a really good spell. Derby had to ride that out a bit. Derby kind of came into it a bit more. There was a couple of good chances. You know, there was Charlotte Steggles' long ball, which Amy Simms chased. That did end up in the hands of the keeper, and that kind of epitomised things kind of on the half-hour mark. But really, you know, Forest had a couple of free kicks towards the end of that first half, which they, you know, whipped over the bar, one shot into the north stand, and you thought, OK, this is fairly even now on the balance of the half overall. And then Derby came out having, you know, Sarah Morgan having denied Sophie Domingo right at the end of that first half to keep things level. Derby came out, and within 2 minutes, Becky May had put us 1-0 up. And yeah, from there, you know, you kind of felt the atmosphere change. Everybody was buoyant. You come out, you get that early goal. And yeah, it was a completely different atmosphere. In the end, Forest did come back 65 minutes. Cross from the right, turned into the Derby net by Derby defender Jenkins. And, you know, that was obviously unfortunate. But Forest, for all the chances they had and continued to have, I would say very much deserved the point on a good afternoon. You know, a couple of thousand in attendance was good considering it was Easter Sunday as well. And yeah, I mean, if I just look back to what Emily Joyce said on the club website, She viewed the point against local rivals as a positive one. And Forest did come out strong early on. Derby, though, they held firm for much of that. And I have to say, coming away from it, I was pretty delighted as a fan. And I think coming into the last few games of the season now, Derby can take this and say, we've gone toe to toe with one of the best sides in the league. Now we've got a few games left, a big final, a week on Sunday as well, of course. And I think it stands Derby in good stead, really. I have to say, I was pretty happy once I was back in the car and reflecting on things, especially considering I got out of the stadium after one thing I didn't consider, wheelchair seats and trying to get out at full time at a women's game because see everyone comes to the front, which is lovely, and kids and people getting photos of the players and stuff. It's all great, but yeah, a little bit claustrophobic when I was stood there when I was sat there trying to find a turning circle. But yeah, I mean the atmosphere was great. I mean the I overheard one of the Forest players say something when they were talking to fans actually, which I think summed it up from their perspective pretty well, which was we'd have been all right if we could shoot anywhere other than straight at the keeper, wouldn't we? And that was with the performance Sarah Morgan had in that last half hour, certainly, that was kind of something that I thought, yeah, fair enough. I think Derby, good performance, had a fair few chances themselves, held firm, but yeah, no, neither side, Derby certainly couldn't have any complaints for the point.
And as we say, both teams then still gunning for a positive end to the season. As you say, Derby women's in the plate final. Obviously, the men's still very much chasing automatic promotion. I think the title's gone now, but automatic promotion, I don't think it really matters. Automatic promotion will do me fine. And that's where we will leave this week's podcast. My thanks go out to, as always, Chris Holt. Thank you very much, mate.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
And Jack Bryan, thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, we'll hopefully get a good few points this week and know where we are with two games to go by next week, the next pod.
Absolutely. Open for 6 out of 6. I'll take 4, but I'm open for 6 out of 6. And yes, by the next pod, we will be into that final stride of the season, and we'll know exactly what is needed from Cambridge and Carlisle. Thank you as always. We've been the Rams Review, and up the Rams.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.